A host of the country's major arts organisations have been told to brace themselves for more cuts. Big names like the Grand Opera House, Ulster Orchestra, Lyric, Playhouse Theatres and Derry, Londonderry will all be hit. The Arts Council has told 32 groups to plan for up to 10% being sliced from their budget this year. What difference will that make? Should a special case be made for the arts? Do they have to share the pain of Stormont cutbacks like anybody else? On your list of priorities, do the arts come anywhere near the top? Maybe they do. Geoffrey Peel, Fionnuala Meredith, with us this morning. Morning, Fionnuala. Morning, Geoffrey.
Morning, Stephen.
Where do you stand on this, Geoffrey?
Well, obviously, the Arts Council has had its budget cut by, 11%, and they're now arguing that the arts recipients need to have their budgets cut. Seems to me that the biggest beneficiary of arts funding, however, is the Arts Council itself. You know, this is an organisation that employs over 60 people on an average salary of £40,000. The chief executive has a pension pot of nearly £750,000, and yet they're now cutting 10% off the funding to arts organisations. Many of whom receive relatively small amounts of money, but some actually receive quite large amounts of money as well. The other thing about the Arts Council is that the employees, the executive board, are all mates and friends of arts organisations. It's a kind of middle-class arts cabal which carves up all the money. And
well, there's no suggestion of any impropriety. They do so within the rules. We're really venturing off target, off topic here, Geoffrey, aren't we? We're talking about whether the arts deserves special treatment, as in protection.
Yeah, but it really causes us, I think, to look at the nature of arts funding and whether indeed we need an organisation employing so many people to dole out a relatively small amount of money, £13 million, to a relatively small number of organisations. But it also begs the question, just what quality of service that these organisations are providing. You know, surely the people who attend these events or, you know, attend these exhibitions organised by these arts organisations could afford to pay a little bit more if indeed they are providing such good quality service.
And that's the point, Fionnuala Meredith, isn't it? The majority of people who will go and to the likes of the Lyric, the Ulster Orchestra, the Grand Opera House, the Playhouse Theatres, they'll probably have enough money to pay a little bit more.
But when you think of the logic of where you're going with this kind of argument, saying, you know, the arts must be more and more commercial, you know, and Geoffrey's saying, oh, what's the point of the Arts Council and the arts organisations must do more? Well, basically, then, are you just going to scrap all arts funding and turn it into a purely commercial venture? Well, you know what you're going to do then? You're going to make art just for the elite. They're going to make, like, the kind of, you know, the middle class people that Geoffrey was just talking about. Hang on a sec, Geoffrey, let me finish. You know, if you just, you know, that's the direction you're going in with these kind of arguments.
Are arts not already for just the elite, predominantly?
Precisely because they are funded, they are able to be offered for free or at a subsidised price for a heck of a lot of people. And also, don't make it out to be just a middle class thing. You know, think about community arts. Hundreds of young people every summer, every year, are benefiting from that. So, you know, it's a bit, to my mind, it's lazy to just sort of say, oh, the arts are just for these kind of middle class South Belfast people. It's a heck of a lot more than that.
Go on, Geoffrey.
Well, the fact is that most of us do actually, you know, expose ourselves to an awful lot of art which we pay for. You know, the most popular art is commercial art. We buy novels, we buy books off Amazon, we watch movies on Netflix, we go and see Harry Potter, we go to watch a movie, we go and see a play and pay a commercial rate to see a play or a...
Well, no, but that's the thing, Geoffrey, that's the point. Because the art...
Now you're interrupting me. You know?
Okay,
fair enough. The fact is, if these organisations have any merit, they should be able to stand on their own feet. Now, I recognise that there may be merit in funding certain arts organisations. However, it's always very, very subjective. And often the number of people who are actually consuming these so-called arts are tiny in number, and they do tend to be middle class. And often we have genuine community organisations that are in need of funding that receive none. And remember that the lion's share of Arts Council funding goes to the Ulster Orchestra. And the Ulster Orchestra often isn't even in Northern Ireland. It's all performing outside of Northern Ireland where we can't even benefit from the so-called service provision.
Oh, come on. No, know, what you think, they're touring all over the world and not doing anything here, you know that's nonsense.
The fact is that most people in Northern Ireland, if you went out and did a straw poll, most people in Northern Ireland have not heard the Ulster Orchestra probably in the last 10 years. The Ulster Orchestra plays for a middle-class cohort, and we, and the rest of the populace, pay through the nose for that.
Well, the Ulster Orchestra do outreach work, don't they? The Ulster Orchestra does outreach work. It would stress that it tries to provide music for all.
But the beneficiaries of the Ulster Orchestra could well afford to pay. If the great middle classes want the Ulster Orchestra, they should pay for it. And they should pay through voluntary contributions. And the public purse should not pay for it.
Go on, Fionnuala.
We've got to ask what kind of society we want to live in. Do we want to be the kind of society that has its own orchestra? Because it's not, just don't make it about cash, don't just make it about money, don't just make it about commercial things. Do we want to be the kind of society that places value in arts and culture as an extraordinary life-enriching thing, not just for middle-class people? And I think it's really invidious just to sort of make this all about the Ulster Orchestra. It's something much, much wider.
Well, it's not just about the Ulster Orchestra. You've got the Lyric as well. Many working-class people go through the Lyric every year.
Indeed, and the Lyric have made particular attempts to, and have many arts organisations, to reach out to people from all backgrounds. This myth goes around, it was just for middle-class people. Here, tell you what, you know what will make it just for really well-off people? If you cut funding to theatres and other arts organisations, just like, Jeffrey, you're saying, oh, you know, yes, just pay for your theatre ticket. Do you realise how much your theatre ticket would cost if these arts organisations didn't receive some subsidy?
But frankly, most people in the community, 99.9% of our community, would not want to attend many of these events.
Where are you getting that figure from?
If you look at the amount of funding and the amount of recipients, I'll give you a case in point.
99.9% of people, where's that figure coming from?
So let me make this point. If you look at where this money is going, 23 board directors and staff connected with the Arts Council are also connected with the recipients of the funding. 23 members, board directors or executives...
Still waiting to hear about that 99.9% figure, Jeffrey.
Well, obviously, it's not a precise figure.
Right,
stop you two 1 second. Here's the number. 0845955678. We'll come back to your calls on this. Fionnuala and Jeffrey, stay there for me. Greg Rice says this morning, arts funding is elitist. How many rock bands, for example, are funded? Ask Greg. If the arts is not self-supporting, then not enough people want to have it. Full stop, says Greg Lindsay. Damien and Derry. Hello, Damien.
Yeah, Stephen.
Go on, Damien.
Stephen, no, it amuses me that on the day whenever the Chancellor's just cost the taxpayer £1 billion selling off RBS shares on the cheap to city investors, that Jeffrey's on quibbling over, is it £1 million we're talking about here going to the arts? Is it even that much?
I don't know what it is. I'll have to look at that and see
just
what it is.
I'm not sure Jeffrey's got his priorities right here.
I would also take issue with the sell-off of RBS. I think it's disgraceful. The organisation should have been carved up. But
we're not getting into that.
Of course not.
I'm looking at the core funding. To answer your question, Damien, I'm looking at the core funding from Arts Council's revenue funding stream. This is money the council receives directly from DCAL, right? So, for example, the MAC got £950,000 for 2015-16. Northern Ireland Opera House got 561,000. The Crescent Arts Centre got nearly £227,000.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? Isn't that money well invested?
That's what you think.
It is. That's an important part of society. The arts.
Have you, Jeffrey?
I'm speaking here at the minute.
What does arts do for society?
What does arts do for it? Enriches their lives.
In what way?
Do you ever go to anything, Stephen?
No.
Of course you do.
Absolutely not.
You never go to a play, you never go to see hear any music.
Maybe once a year.
Not at all.
Christmas time or something.
Christmas time. Well, even that, that's something at least. But it does. I mean, it's an important part of our lives.
I go to the cinema, for example. Lots of us go to the cinema. But the point is, nobody subsidises that, Damien. It's got to stand on its own two feet. Why should the arts be different?
Because sometimes you have to put money into things that can't pay for themselves. That's part of society.
But if they can't pay for them, if they can't...
A responsible democratic society that treasures important things in life.
If they can't pay for themselves, Damien...
pay for themselves. Education doesn't pay for themselves. The police, the military... things like that don't pay for themselves. That's why you pay tax. That's why that's why those things need funding. There's lots of things like that in life and in society that need funding. A part of the RBS,
you're saying this.
The RBS can't pay for itself, but yet they have no problem giving us $45 billion. By the way, it's lost $49 billion.
Just stop talking to me about RBS. We're not talking about RBS this morning.
Making a comparison here, Stephen. There's no outcry over RBS.
If this man mentions RBS to me one more time,
to the arts.
Will Chamberlain from the Belfast Circus School. Good morning to you, Will.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I think what Damien was saying was making a lot of sense. Society does actually fund activities that don't pay for themselves, like health, like education, and we need to ask ourselves whether we ought to regard the arts in such a way. The arts already are a special case in Northern Ireland, not because of exemption from cuts, but because actually we have the lowest level of investment in the arts of any part of the UK or Ireland, and it's been an utter disgrace for the last 20 years that we have.
But you say investment in arts. What type of return do we get? How do you?
Let's start talking about Game of Thrones then, shall we? Because you only seem to have a balance
produced
sheet.
Produced by HBO, which is
excuse me. Listen, Jeffrey. Just listen for once in your life,
HBO
and you'll learn something.
HBO is a commercial organisation.
Right. Well, let's let him speak, Jeffrey. Let's let him speak.
Right. The Game of Thrones would be importing talent, and it would make it more expensive if we didn't have the talent here. In the form of people working on costume, working on makeup, some of the actors and extras, set makers. That is one of the reasons why they locate here. It seems to be absurd that Jeffrey kind of only looks at the balance sheet in terms of we're talking about £10 million, aren't we, for the Exchequer funding for the arts. It is a drop in the ocean. Now, don't get me wrong, Stephen. Every single penny of public funding, which is raised by our taxes, is really valuable and valued by every single arts organisation.
Yeah, but Will, the context the context is important. When you say the $10 million, when you say the $10 million is a drop in the ocean, it's in the context of us hearing about people sitting on waiting lists because the NHS doesn't have more money, of us not being able to cut the grass in this country because there isn't enough money.
Let's have a context that actually looks at the society that we're in. So do we think that we're actually making the best use of money across the board? Do we think that, for instance, the money invested in policing parades is the best value for money? Do we think that all of the government decisions have been excellent and there hasn't been a penny wasted? Well, I think if you look, I've done some calculations of some of the investments made and decisions made by government, which have resulted in waste, almost in a house that was bought for $9 million and sold for $1 million. You know, that's £8 million gone. That's a year's worth of arts funding from one single mistake.
Okay.
So it is about context, and it is time that we realise that $10 million is a very, very small amount. And the return that comes, if you don't think that the arts brings a return, then really you're not living in the same world.
Well, what does it do for what does it do against this argument of it being elitist?
People, is that what you're about to say? Okay. Well, what does it do? Well, in terms of for the work that we carry out, I would argue that it does an awful lot. We recently took part in the Beat Carnival Parade as part of our birthday celebrations and theirs. We're 30 years old. We've been doing a lot of good work for a long time, and we had groups in from Shankill Road. We had groups from Suffolk who were, you know, working class communities.
How many times a year?
Well, we ended that parade only happens once a year, so that was once. But we worked throughout the year with them. We've always done that. I've actually got a visitor here at the moment from Slovenia, who's a social worker who is using circus because he has discovered that it's an amazing tool for personal development for young people.
So if I were to take Will, the Lyric Theatre, the Northern Ireland Opera, the Ulster Orchestra. What do they do for working class people? Do you think they connect and and reach out? Do you think the Lyric reaches out to working class people? Do you think the Opera reaches out? The Northern Ireland Opera, does it reach out?
Stephen, I'm not here to answer on behalf of other organisations, but I'm sure that they would give you examples of exactly when and where they do. And I know that in the past, I don't get out to much arts myself because I'm too busy trying to make ends meet with this organisation. We're open 7 days a week, and we work with young people across Northern Ireland for each of those 7 days a week, and we don't take bank holidays off except for Christmas and Easter.
Are you impressed, Geoffrey Peel?
I'm not trying to impress Geoffrey Peel, by the way. That's not my ambition in life.
I'm not impressed with the argument at all, because what we're doing is we're spending money on the arts by default. We have this big lumbering quango, which is very, very good at paying itself large amounts of money and big, huge pensions. We have a huge amount of money fur coat-wearing middle classes who love to laud around the arts. And we have a relatively small amount of money. I have a certain sympathy for relatively small community-based arts groups that actually get a paltry amount of money, often are paying themselves tiny salaries, and they actually are being overlooked. So I have a certain sympathy with community arts groups, and I think that they have merit. But whether the current model of funding and the current superannuated quango-delivered service is fit for purpose. And that's my issue with arts funding in Northern Ireland, and therefore I don't really have a great deal of sympathy with a 10% cut in funding, because if people really genuinely value these services, they can afford to stump up the cash.
Here's Angela this morning. Morning, Angela.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go on, Angela.
Well, I think if the prices went up, I couldn't afford it. We save hard for maybe Christmas, birthdays and whatever, for to give ourselves a wee treat. And if the prices went up, we just could not afford it.
What do you go to, Angela?
I would go to face shows in the Opera House, and I thoroughly enjoy them, and I could not afford to pay any more money.
Much as a show in the Opera House. I haven't been in the Opera House in years. Much as a show in the Opera House.
Well, my husband bought me one for my birthday. I'm going to see Dancing Shoes, and this will be my third time going to see it. And to be honest with you, I don't know how much he paid.
We must find out, actually. Angela, thank you. Kathleen. Morning, Kathleen.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Kathleen.
Stephen, it's just a wee point. This word elitist has been bandied around in the discussion so far. I'd just like to make a point that in issues like this, I had occasion to read up the annual accounts of the Arts Council. I think it was maybe 2-3 years back. And there is money given to orange bands for replacement of instruments via the Arts Council. Now, you're not going to tell me that that's an elitist contribution. I'm not saying that they shouldn't have it. I am for encouraging anybody that plays any instrument or works on any art field whatsoever should get a bit of help.
Looks like our last two callers have proven you wrong, Geoffrey Beattie.
Well, I certainly wouldn't be in
Geoffrey
favour
Peel,
of that.
Geoffrey Peel,
sorry. I wouldn't be in favour of the funding of Orange Lodge drums by Arts Council funding. I think they can well afford to fund their own bigotry.
Here's an interesting email I've just got. And it says, it's just come into me, actually. I work for an arts organisation funded by the Arts Council. No one wants to speak out against the Arts Council as they're too frightened that they will lose funding. But the amount of money the Arts Council wastes is incredible, says this email. Arts Council is hugely overstaffed. They have made no redundancies despite the ongoing cuts. Arts organisations are laying off staff left, right and centre. We must have a look at that, actually, and see if the Arts Council made any redundancies in terms of cutting their costs. Obviously, they would deny wasting any money. But a really interesting email coming in there from one of our listeners. I'm just reading the rest of it. Some of it I can't read to you at this moment. Arts Council lease one of the most exclusive addresses in Belfast on the Malone Road. Is that true? Is that where their headquarters are? On the Malone Road. Huge cost to the taxpayer of hundreds of thousands of pounds a year. We need to check that, actually, and look through some of the Arts Council's public accounts and let's just see. For example, this email is suggesting the leases and costs for the Arts Council on the Malone Road were some £317,000. So we need to have a look at that and check if that's in any way accurate. But that would be a huge rent, wouldn't it, for an organisation saying that these 10% cuts are really going to affect the budgets. So let's have a look at that that information, that email coming into us, and we'll see if we can stand up what's true and what's not within that. Philip, morning to you, Philip.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Philip.
As a hard-working Glasgow boy, you can imagine I was no fan of Mrs. Thatcher. However, what she did in England, as far as the Arts Council's go and funding to them, was effectively cut it and enforced a situation where they became very good at developing their own marketing and developing and raising their own funding. It now means that in England, it's probably one of the slickest organisations at self-funding. Same thing happened in Scotland, and you now have organisations like the National Theatre for Scotland who have brought probably some of the most successful theatre to the masses in Scotland and throughout the world, and particularly here, and I think they have by far probably the best production ever brought to Northern Ireland in Black Watch. So most arts councils, most arts funding goes into a top-heavy organisation, and you only have to look at the Queen's Festival, which died on its backside to the tune of about £250,000.
What has? Now,
for the Belfast Festival of Queens, apologies. And that was pulled for the sake of about £250,000. This, I think, the second largest arts festival in the UK. And £250,000 from a corporate sponsorship perspective.
Careful.
Is a very, very small amount. Can I just pick up one other point a lady said earlier about funding for the Orange Order? That's billed as a large cultural and arts festival. Yet the clean-up operation for that could probably fund the likes of the Opera House for 5 years.
The Orange Order is billed as what?
Well, July 12th, as we know, is billed now as a cultural festival. However, the clean-up operation is picked up by the taxpayer. So perhaps the Opera House and all these other arts organisations don't expect public to clean up after them. So that's just a sideline. I know the lady raised it earlier. But I think we have to be, and I'm a huge spot, absolutely huge fan of the arts and a big supporter of them, but they need to become better at what they do. The same thing happened in the South. They brought in a large, very well-known theatre in Dublin a few years ago. It was £3 million in the red, and they brought in the head of corporate affairs from National Theatre for Scotland. She turned it round within 18 months. But what it meant was that the six seamstresses that they had on retainers and, you know, and the backing crew that they had, all these other, had to go. And it's reality. And as I said, although I'm a huge supporter of the arts, they need to become better at self-funding and self-promotion, because it's not going to work. And the tighter it gets, the less availability there will be to the unwashed public. And that's where arts should be.
Philip, thank you very much indeed. Kevin next. Morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Stephen. You were speaking about the ticket prices for the Grand Opera House in Belfast.
Now, the Grand Opera House isn't the target here in any way. It's just come up in conversation.
I understand that part of the conversation. You did ask the question, does anybody know the ticket prices?
I did.
That's why I'm phoning you.
Yes.
I'm at St. Agnes's Choral Society. We put a musical on every year in the Grand Opera House. Our ticket prices range from about £17 to £23 approximately. If there was a company coming in from a professional company coming in from England, you're looking at around £35 to £39. That's just to put you in a picture of that.
What do you think of those prices?
Well, we cannot. Before long, we'll be unable to go to the Opera House because of the cost of the Opera House to us.
£35 to £39 for what?
That's for a professional company coming in to do a musical in the Opera House. That's what they'll charge.
Per ticket?
For tickets, yes. Check them. Check with them if you wish. But if you know, I've paid that myself.
It's a lot less than a football match.
A lot less, yes. Anyway, it's just a point of information. That's all I've called you for.
No, thank you very much, Kevin.
Not at all, Stephen.
Thank
bye-bye.
You.